Hi guys, it gives me great pleasure to introduce you guys to another new band for me, anyway. It is Brian Allen from the band Bridges Ablaze. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. As I said before we started recording, thank you to Jamie, who is your person on the other end of promotions and such, for referring me to you guys. I'm really enjoying your music. And for anyone that just wants to listen to him straight away, go do that because it's really good.
Thank you.
Because you're a new band for me, I like to sort of do these sort of discovery podcasts because I have a lot of sort of different level bands come on the show. So it's always nice, you know, having the big known bands on there and everything, and you know, with all the followers and all that kind of stuff. But my passion really lies in sort of discovering bands and things like that, and I find them through random search, you know, just stumble upon, go to a show, find support bands, or in this case your PR person who likes to develop acts and things like that, refer me to you guys. And yeah, I gotta say I'm loving the music, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. But can I get a bit of an origin story from you guys, because there's two of you. You make a bit of a racket for two of you, I'm gonna say that.
Thank you.
But yeah, if I can get some sort of backstory to your guys' beginnings.
Yeah, well, me and Ruben met at a guitar center in 2014. And we've been friends ever since, pretty much, you know, through the years, you know, going through multiple bands, you know, and just kind of always hitting a certain kind of dead end. And in 2019, I remember we were hanging out and I think, you know, just kind of venting and commiserating about, you know, prior bands. And we basically just said, you know what, you want to do something? And so that was the night Bridges started, like as a concept, as an intention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the following months after that, it was just going from there, you know, it kind of, to be honest, an experiment, you know.
Okay.
An experiment because we'd never really done like fronting before. We had only really ever been lead guitar players, backing vocalists or
Yeah.
something.
Yeah.
You know, we'd never really been like front and center, and so we figured we'd try it together and just see how it sounded.
Cool. And you guys have been around for how long now?
As Bridges since 2019, that fall, it was I think September of 2019, where we recorded The Kill, down in San Antonio, Texas, and that was the start of it.
Nice, excellent. I mean, it's I was gonna say the first track that I found, like your earliest track, was the cover of that 30 Seconds to Mars track, The Kill. Didn't go listen to. It's good. It's a good cover. Enjoyed it. But you've got five other tracks, original tracks you've got out as well, which I'll go through the list here actually, if it's all right. You just released Numb. I know
Yes.
that's the first track I heard of you guys. Really like that one.
Thank you.
But the other tracks are really like Heartbroken Angel, Hellbent. You've also got, not to negate the other two that I'm about to mention, I do like them as well, but those are my sort of highlight ones. Forever Fallen, and Never Too Late. So those tracks are all singles out now that people can go listen to on whichever service they listen to music on that front. So what the with the sort of like music you've got out there at the moment, what is the general plan? Because there's a lot of bands that go out, they release singles without the intention of releasing like an extended player, like an EP, or even a full album. But obviously I don't know what you guys are up to. So what is your sort of, you know, as a sort of emerging band, what is your sort of plan at the moment? Is there an album in the works, or is it just continuing with putting content out there?
Well, we have quite a few more songs still ready to go, and we'll probably release them in a similar fashion. But at a certain point, we'll probably make physical pressings, and that will be the album pretty much containing all the singles. So it's just kind of a, I guess you could say, a smeared release, but it's ultimately going to be an album.
Oh, where do your sort of like inspirations lie with it? Because there's a lot of elements in these songs that you kind of mix together. You've got your sort of rock, your metal sort of sounding, big sort of big riffs and big breakdowns and stuff like that. But you've also got some electronic elements, more mellow elements and stuff like that. But where are your sort of like, you know, you said you're in various bands beforehand, but what sort of bands did you sort of well, what which bands inspire you, to sort of give it the term?
Oh wow, God, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm drawing ultimately on maybe a decade and a half of just experiences with and encounters with all different kinds of music, not just limited to rock, I mean, things like God, there's a lot of really cool electronic music out that's inspired me recently, like Seven Lions. And then you have people like Hans Zimmer doing movie scores, John Williams, Howard Shore. And then, you have jazz, blues, just all kinds of stuff that I'm a big fan of. And then you have all the various reinventions and incarnations of rock, over the years, and how it's changed. And so I'd say a lot of that really inspires us, me and Ruben both. And but I'd say, 80s bands, like Van Halen, the Scorpions, Metallica, Killswitch Engage, 2000s bands, Escape the Fate, Atreyu, Falling in Reverse, and then a lot of the new stuff too. You have like Intervals, you have Pliny, you have Polyphia, you have these really interesting modern acts, Tesseract, Northlane era. So all of it, just kind of punk, thrash, deathcore, all of it kind of mixing in various little small ways, right?
No, I mean, I was just like hearing like a lot of that. I mean, you mentioned the likes of Tesseract, Northlane, and I was going to mention the sort of djent sound, as it was called back then. Now it's more, I think they've settled for progressive. to give it away, the sort of branding name on it. But yeah, no, there's, I mean, I can hear that in your music. I can hear that kind of like early 2000s, mid 2000s, or mid, to 10s, 20s. In the sort of modern era, and things like that. And I was just curious, 'cause like I've had a couple of bands from your neck of the woods, like Texas, Austin, as well as other places in Texas, that have kind of one in particular, it was a few years ago, but they used to have that kind of like electronic, like the dance music mix with the sort of the rock, the metal. They were called The Taking. And they're no longer a band. I think they're real estate agents now, which is the weirdest thing. But
Lots of
no,
money in it.
yeah. But there was a couple of other bands. I'm trying to remember their names, but there was there was this like a lot of electronic music influence. And it just seems strange, like just because Texas to me, I mean, I always mention this, but I lived in the States for a bit. As my listeners will know, and I just like I want to know where that kind of electronic element comes from. Like in Texas, where does that element hit you? Where do you find that? Because I get it if because I was in Florida, so I get it there because you've got Miami, which is kind of like the I'd say the EDM capital of the world at the moment.
I guess,
but I just like
God.
where do you discover that? What bands did you find that element from?
I don't know if it's really been any local acts that have inspired, these elect. It's been, I guess, global stuff. Like Asking Alexandria, for example, bands like that really, really made me fall in love with the EDM sound. And then when I heard it years later, but just as EDM songs with like maybe a dubstep breakdown, and there's a lot of variety in it now, like a dubstep breakdown is a way to kind of like really change it up in the middle of an otherwise really melodic song. I'd hear songs like that, and I would be very open to it because of bands like Asking Alexandria from, years ago. But yeah, I'd say it's been mostly the global scene and stuff like that. But I will say, if you want to hear electronic music, just go down to 6th Street, like downtown, where all the bars are, on a Friday, Saturday. And sometimes you'll hear like live dudes doing like blues, or top 40 covers. But a lot of the time it's just DJs doing like EDM.
I mean that's really cool because like that was an element that I missed when I was living over in the States. It was like I knew Miami was a hub because it's a party city, if you will, or it has that reputation on that front. But obviously being from England, and I'm in England now, and we've got obviously we had lots of big nightclubs, big dance acts that have kind of gone through and made a name for themselves, the Prodigy, Chemical Brothers, Underworld, bands like that. That have kind of made it they've released music worldwide and toured and everything over in the States and whatnot, so it was just sort of I missed that element when I was there, and I was just curious because spoken to a couple of bands in Texas that have that thing. But if it's just like stuff that is just creeping in, like in the streets and stuff like that, you know, DJs and stuff, that's really cool. Because that's what a DJ should be. It should be that moment of discovery, and it's what I love to be. If people are walking into my club, and they're listening to music and they've never heard it before, and they're like, "Oh my God, this is," you know, and then they go off and do something with that, you know, and that's amazing. From a DJ, anyway.
Yeah, I'd say I've had enough encounters with it just throughout many avenues of life, and it's just kind of led to a level of appreciation where me and Ruben will program some electronics ourselves, and or you know we'll encourage our producer to take our ideas and you know add his own input too. But either way, the three of us, we like that stuff, and so a lot of our stuff will have you know elements here and there of that.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that. So with it, when it comes to, I don't know if you guys playing any live shows or anything, you got anything coming up or anything along those lines, but with the two of you, what sort of setup do you have, or is it something that's more studio based?
Oh, we have live musicians. They're learning the set right now. We're basically, you know, getting our boys up to speed on the songs. But and there will be shows later this year. We don't have any booked yet,
Okay.
but
Cool. No, I mean that's cool. I was just curious because, like, I know there are acts out there, you know, two man acts, if you will. You've got like 21 Pilots, and that's all I can think of right now when it comes to the big ones. Oh, there's one here called Royal Blood. There's a group here called Royal Blood who are doing quite well, and that's just two guys doing that. And then you get bands like Muse that have only got three, you know, stuff like that. So, no, I was just curious how your guys' stuff was going to translate and how you kind of, you know, obviously, if you've got a live band, that makes more sense. You know, you've got other musicians. Because I've met other like bands that have, you know, those sort of, you know, that like synth wave them or the, you know, rock elements. But there's only two of them on stage. But they've got like a laptop with tracks on them, basically playing out, and they're playing the guitars and singing over them and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't know if that was the sort of thing you guys were going to go for when it came to that sort of thing. But if you're going for the full live experience, and kudos.
That's definitely what we're going for. We're probably going to have, I mean, for sure, a drummer and a bass player, probably going to have another guitar player as well. So there will be me, Ruben, and a third guitar player on stage.
Okay,
So,
cool.
yeah, because there's a lot of complex guitars, you know, layers. So,
Yeah, I was gonna say there's a lot to your music. I was sort of listening to it and I was like, this is more than two people. It has to be people. But yeah, no, I mean it's fantastic. I mean, anyone, like I said, I'm gonna say it again, people go listen to their music, go listen to Numb. That's such a good song.
Thank you.
And you know, and it was a good introduction from when you released The Kill, because there's a lot of people that like 30 Seconds to Mars, and you've done an absolute stellar cover of that song. It's a big choice as well, not gonna lie. That song is it's a big song.
It is.
When I've played it at like, well, like I said, DJ rock clubs and stuff, and I'll play it there because it's a big sing along one, and it's hard even to sing along with it. It's hard, but you guys seem to nail it, so that's all good. With the sort of with your sort of live plans, I know you haven't got anything booked, but when were you sort of hoping to get that off the ground? You said obviously later this year. Were you talking sort of like summer, or are you talking late summer?
I would say fall
Yeah.
is probably the most realistic estimation, but we'll just see how it goes. But for sure, this year,
Yeah. And is
for
that going
sure.
to coincide with potentially a release of some kind, like a long player or something, or?
Maybe not a long play, but maybe a single or a music video. Might you know maybe because at this rate, it's looking like we're gonna be doing some acoustic stuff, kind of end of April, beginning of May. Acoustic editions of Heartbroken Angel and Numb. And then in mid-June, we're going to do Apocalypse. So I think that will open up September and December for the other two.
Oh, I was going to ask you about the acoustic side of things because I did see that on your social media posts. And yeah, I just sort of, you know, always that translation from like a heavy rock song to an acoustic song. Sometimes it works, like it's an easy transition, if you will. How have you found that, like transitioning those songs? Obviously, a lot of them probably may start off like that, and then you develop it with all the bits. But you know, from where you're, what you're producing to what you're performing at the moment, how have you found that sort of easing up?
It's kind of wild just making a song in general versus a cover versus like a reimagining, like an acoustic rendition or even something different. It can be really weird. And sometimes ideas just come, and sometimes you stare at something and you're like, how do I even do this?
Yeah.
Like, and so sometimes you just come at it from really weird points of view, you know?
Yeah.
Like with Heartbroken and Numb, there's just so much duh, 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 or boo, duh, duh, brruh, brruh, you know, that stuff, just nuts. And so how do you make that acoustic, you know? So we kind of sat back and we were like, you know what, let's just make this as easy as possible on us. And so for these, you know, we kind of just decided to just kind of lock in on more of the chords and the melodies themselves. And so there's quite a bit of a difference, you know, like some parts are totally restructured.
And does that give you sort of, would that tempt you to go back and like maybe rewrite it or re-record it with some of those elements being more prominent? Or is that something you want to keep separate? Like you've made that track, that is what you wanted it to be, but you've started to develop it as another sort of sound, if you will, but you might have found elements that you were like, oh, actually, this might actually work over what we've got already, or instead of this verse kind of thing, or this part of the chorus or something.
I mean, the idea of re-recording songs has crossed my mind, but kind of more in the sense of if we did it, it would be either like a reimagining or like an acoustic version. And if we did re-record it again, maybe it would be like a 10-year anniversary re-recording or
Oh, okay.
something, maybe with like some adjustments. 'Cause you know, like Tool recently for 2022 put out Opiate Squared, which was a re-recording of like one of their oldest songs from I believe 1992. And it's mostly the same, but it has like an extended intro, and it's just 30 years of production technology. And I think the tuning is also maybe, I don't think it's drop D anymore. They might have gone lower, so.
Yeah, I think they have, if I remember rightly. Yes, I've heard it. And yeah, and it's there's a few bands that have done that actually, that have kind of like after 20 years or whatever of after a release, they re-record. Well, they I think who did that recently? Saliva did that with Click Click Boom.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did a 20th
Wow.
anniversary version. And oh, there was someone else, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But that one just popped in my mind because I was listening to it earlier. Yeah,
Think pop.
and it is slightly different. It is there's obviously production wise, yes, it's improved significantly because the technology is so much more now. And I think they've got a different lineup in some cases as well. So I'm guessing they put their Taylor's version on it, if you will.
Right. Yeah, Papa
Yeah.
Roach, Testament, they've done it too, so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I mean, it's definitely a thing. I was just curious because you're breaking these songs down at the moment, and sometimes that can release further ideas to, maybe potentially improve other songs if you feel like it needs improving, obviously. But
And
anyway.
yeah, and there's also the idea of kind of doing like a hybrid live, you know, like we could have it be like an acoustic intro and then just bust out the eight strings, you know. Like,
Why not? Why not? You've got all this to look forward to later this year. So no, that's all cool. So with what I was going to do is I've got a couple of last questions for you, if that's all right, and then I'll
of
let you go
course.
for the rest of your day. But these are more sort of based for you and your sort of like musical upbringing and whatnot. But what I would like to know are your, if you can, three most pivotal albums in your life. So not necessarily the favorite albums. These are ones that like, when you were a kid, you heard it and you were like, oh heck, I want to be in a band, or I want to be doing music, or I want to do whatever you wanted to do as a kid. And most of the time with these things, it does revolve around hearing an album or a particular song, but I like to know the three albums if you can.
Oh yeah, there's a few pretty crucial moments. I would say like the first was like just my initial encounters with lead guitar. I would say that's probably Thunderstruck by AC/DC. But if there was an album from that time in my life that kind of would be the most impactful, maybe like the Van Halen Greatest Hits album or
Yeah.
something. I think they had one back in the day called the Best of Volume One or something. And such a great record, you know. Even those new songs they put on there, like Humans Being, Me Wise Magic, great songs. And then I'd say there is, so that's like my first encounters with just what lead guitar could be. And then I would say maybe a year later, I kind of heard like metal lead guitar, which I'd say is kind of different. And maybe a Metallica album, like Ride the Lightning or something.
Okay. Yep, that
And
is a solid down split.
or the Justice album, good Lord. And then there was like an encounter with like modern metal shredding, and at that point that was 07 for me. So what had just come out around that time was City of Evil by Avenged Sevenfold,
Oh, yep.
and I would say Sinister Gates kind of took, you know, like Metallica took what Van Halen was doing and just totally flipped it on its head. And then Sinister Gates, well, I mean, even Dimebag Darrell and Pantera, like every 10 years, there's a legendary guitar player who just says, I'm gonna do it differently. And so I'd say City of Evil, you know, that blew my mind. You know, Bat Country, Beast and the
Yeah, that is an absolute storm of an album.
Harlot. Yeah.
They are they're it's a weird one. They should be, no, they are big. They're headlining festivals here. It's weird. They don't feel like a big band to me. I've had this set, but I as soon as they released Nightmare, I was like, that's it. They're going to be headlining festivals. Because it was more accessible, don't get me wrong. It was more accessible. It sounded very much like a Metallica album, if you will, because obviously, unfortunately, they lost their drummer, and the drummer they got in, he kind of kept things simple, like which was a very good, you know, if you wanted something to sort of live on, that's a very good kind of thing to do as a musician. You know, I don't want to like say they sold out or anything because that would be wrong. It was more like they just it became easy to dance to. Which is a weird thing to say for metal, but it became like accessible for radio as well. I mean, back country and things like that, those were played on the radio, but they were kind of odd tempos, if you will, for casual listening, if you will. That kind of makes sense. But when it came to that Nightmare album, yeah, they just it just hit the shelves and it sold however many. Streamed however many times, if you want to count those as well. But yeah, no, I knew it from that point that kind of cemented them as a big band, but they don't act like one. I think that's the thing with Avenged Sevenfold, like especially with their new album, they kind of reinvented themselves again. They kind of went, they took a gamble, and you know, and it'll pay off for them. There's some solid growing tracks on there as well. I didn't necessarily like connect with it straight away, but given time, it's kind of given me, oh, actually, no, these are solid songs. These are, you know, it's one of those bizarre bands.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was awesome. It was some of it maybe kind of went over my head a little bit, but I'd say there's at least a handful of like really good songs on there. Some of it I was like really refreshed to hear like M Shadows, you know, scream again. It's like come on, let's bring it. And he was like, oh, I loved it.
Definitely. And City of Angels just reminded me as well. My wife went to school with the guy who did the artwork for that. So
What?
he did the artwork for that. He's done stuff for Deftones and things like that as well. But yeah, he does album artwork and just general art. He's one of those lucky people that get to do stuff like that for a living.
That's so crazy.
It's mad. But yeah, finally, my last question for you is what are your hobbies away from music? So when you're not doing things like bridges related, you know, what do you do to kind of get away from it? Or have you got anything that you know that's kind of just yours?
God, I'd say these days more than ever, away time is in a very total sense. Like I tend to be like a put the phone down off the grid type guy, like which could range, you know, from you know, it typically just some form of an adventure with somebody I love, you know, like be it my partner at the time, currently single, but or a friend, you know, it doesn't matter, just somebody close to me and just you know, do something, you know, basically go camping, go hiking, you know, that's one of my favorite things. There's also you know, Austin's just a nature-based city, so there's so many nature activities, you know, kayaking, canoeing, all of it. And then there's, food. Like, food is one of my favorite things on the planet, like sushi, things like that. I love rock climbing. I love just all kinds of adventures.
Nice.
Traveling is great. Going on a trip, going to the West Coast or East Coast. What else? Movies. Going to the movies, watching movies. That's something that's fun on occasion. Video games, completely retreating from the world, honestly.
That's really cool. It's a good thing, like as a musician, and like when you go off on tour, that is one of the sort of things to savor, because you get to see some places. Sometimes time is limited, but it's also a great way of getting off the grid almost, if that makes sense. I know a lot of times people, they rely on social media when you're out on tour, to sort of keep the thing running. But at the same time, you're going to these different places, cities, towns, in random places, and you hope it will take you around the world. And having that already kind of, instilled that you do go off the grid, you like to go out and explore. That's one thing. When I went out on tour, that's one thing I used to like to do, was just explore the town I was in, go out for a walk, because I knew there was hours before sound check, and I could sit in the hotel room or the bus or wherever we were staying, the hostel, depending on what, wherever we were. But I always made a point of going out and viewing where I was, because I feel like this might be my only chance to see it. And in most cases it was. I've not been back to some of the cities that I used to go to. I've not been back to some of the countries yet. I am planning to tour, like not tour, but travel. I've got to that point in my life where I can actually sort of, my kids are grown up enough to leave at home and and go traveling and stuff like that with my wife and everything. So, but yeah, no, that's really cool. It's a nice hobby to have that. And yeah, thank you very much for your
Thank
time.
you.
I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything. I hope to catch up with you guys once more things are happening, like albums and such. And you've always got a place to come and talk about it on here, because I'm enjoying the musical output you're putting out, so it's all good on that front. So
Thank you. Thank you
cool.
so much.
All right, man, have a good rest of your day. All right,
Hey, you too.
thank you.